Some people seem to think that all that matters is just what's in front of you. You know, some people are like, I don't even need mirrors in a car. When I'm driving, all I care about is what's in front of me. And it seems like they go through life the same way. All they care about is just what's right in front of them, what obstacle are they about to hit, and never take the time to reflect about what's happened in the past. I'd just like to talk to you real briefly about an individual that his name was John Phillips, and he was having a busy day. One day he was relaying messages, and things got really busy, and he got interrupted by an announcement coming in, an important message, and so he turned and snapped back at the person that that gave him that message, because he was just really busy at the time. And so normally wouldn't be too big of a deal, but he was the radio operator on the Titanic at that time. And his radio set had been down the day before, and so there were lots of messages that had piled up. You know, during that time, people didn't have all the cell phones and the ways to communicate that they have today. And so everything fell to the radio operator. You got lots of rich people on the Titanic. So they all have things to say. They got to get stock quotes from their stockbroker, and they got to say hi to family and friends. And all these things build up over time while the radio is down. So he's frantically trying to get all these messages out. He's got to do it all by Morse code. So it's a little bit of a slow process anyway. And he's all backed up. And so he's working really hard, and he gets a warning from another steamship there that said there's icebergs ahead. And so he acknowledged it, and he took it, and he said later as he was talking to somebody about it, that he stuck it under his paperweight and just kept on doing what he was doing. Then later on, he got another warning. This was from another ship that said, you know, I've stopped, I'm completely surrounded by ice. This is whenever he got really upset about it. It was like this message came in and it was just blasting. He couldn't hear the shore-based receiver that was a lot weaker on there. And he says, I'm too busy. His little dot, 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 dash and all that. What it actually said was, shut up, I'm busy, I'm working Cape Race. That was his radio station that he was communicating with. He didn't have time for all of these interruptions that were in there. And of course, you know, we know the rest. The ship hits an iceberg and goes down, and 1,500 people lost their lives. Including, in fact, Mr. Phillips himself lost his life during that event. But he stayed at his post until the end. His last message that was received at the other end came in 3 minutes before the ship slipped under the water. So he stayed at his post. He did what he could up until the last. But you got to think during that time when the ship's going down that he had a lot of regrets. That he was thinking, there's probably things that I should have done different in life, and especially this last couple hours, perhaps I should have paid more attention. Should have done something a little bit different than what I've done in life. So, we all have these things that happen to us, things that we say in retrospect, I should have put more thought into that. I should have made a different decision. And sometimes we get so caught up in that, we end up living in the past. There's a really, really terrible movie called Napoleon Dynamite. And there's a character in there that goes through life regretting something that happened to him. And it affected his whole life. His whole life effectively just ended because of a mistake that he made. And so he's just obsessed by the idea, if I had done things differently, my life would have turned out different. And so everything on life was put on hold because of that decision. That's not what we're talking about here. We don't want to live in the past. The future is ahead of us, and we want to think about what's ahead of us and not what's behind us. But this scripture that's up here, this psalm reads differently in different versions, but essentially it says, how can I ever know what sins are lurking in my heart? Cleanse me from these hidden faults. Some versions even call it a blind spot that he has. And we all have sins that we try to hide from other people because it's embarrassing to us sometimes whenever we sin and we make mistakes, and sometimes we don't really want to share those. But he's also talking here about sins that he hides from himself. And there are sins that sometimes we're not even willing to acknowledge in our lives. They may be obvious to everybody else, but sometimes we don't really see it. These hidden faults. You know, when you're driving in a car, there's a blind spot in the car. And it's sometimes in some vehicles a pretty considerable sized blind spot that you could hide a rhinoceros in. And I've had different vehicles, and I've almost been run over before because I missed a car that was in the blind spot. One that it's in between the direction you can see from the rear view mirror, and it's not quite up to the side view mirror. And so, especially as you're leaving 85 and going on to 95 on there, you probably know the intersection, because if you're like me, you've almost been run over before as you come up because somebody wants to cross over and take that exit at the same time that you're coming on. And it would be really easy to have an accident at that spot just because of that blind spot. But sometimes we have blind spots in our lives, the things that we don't see that's a problem in our lives, and we've turned a blind eye to some of the things. And sometimes we need to spend a little bit of time examining ourselves and just taking a look in the mirror and just trying to see what is that rhinoceros in our life that we're not really seeing, the one that's causing all of the issues. And you know, sometimes when we use mirrors, we just use them to look at ourselves. You know, we check our face, make sure we're as presentable as we can get. Some of us have to play the hand we're dealt, but we try to do the best we can with what we got. But when we look in the mirror, we need to look at the events, you know, not just at ourselves. It's not a matter of being vain. And that's not the purpose of those mirrors in the car, for us to look at ourselves. If you drive down the road and you spend the whole time admiring yourself in the mirror, you know, I look so good in these sunglasses going down the road. And then about that time you plow into the back of the 18-wheeler that stopped ahead of you because you were looking in the mirror and admiring how good you looked. That's not what they're for. The mirrors in the car are there in order to see the things that are behind us that may still affect us. Because there's a lot of things that may go on behind us that do affect us. It's not just what's in front of us. And the same with our life. Sometimes, even though we're focused on the future and we're not going to dwell on the past, sometimes we can learn from those things that happen in our past. There's a famous saying that says, you know, learn from your elders because, you know, you don't have time to make all the mistakes yourself. Don't learn everything from your own experience. Try to learn from the bad experiences of others as well. And we can do that. And our driving instructor, Paul, in the scripture that was read to us earlier, gave us some good information. If you got the NIV, there's a little heading there at the beginning of 1 Corinthians chapter 10 that says warnings from Israel's history. And so I'd like to read you some of the warnings that he gave. It says, "For I do not want you to be ignorant of the fact, brothers, that our forefathers were all under the cloud, and they all passed through the sea. They were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. They all ate the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them, and that rock was Christ. Nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them. Their bodies were scattered over the desert. Now these things occurred as examples to keep us from setting our hearts on evil things as they did. Do not be idolaters, as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and got up to indulge in pagan revelry. We should not commit sexual immorality as some of them did, and in one day 23,000 of them died. We should not test the Lord as some of them did and were killed by snakes. And do not grumble as some of them did and were killed by the destroying angel. These things happened to them as examples and were written down as warnings for us, on whom the fulfillment of the ages has come. So if you think you're standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. And so Paul is trying to give us some warnings. He says the Israelites wandered in the desert, and there was a reason why all but two of them died in the wilderness. There were only two that remained faithful and made it into the promised land of all those people that were adults at the time that they left Egypt, because they all made mistakes. And he says, you know, this is something that you can learn from. Whenever we read the Bible, one thing that tells us that it's true is that it's not just about all these good and perfect people doing all kind of things. The Bible is full of examples of people making mistakes and not doing what they're supposed to be doing. There's probably a lot more bad examples in there, in fact, than there are good examples. And in a way, that's kind of an encouragement to us, that we don't have to do everything perfectly. But it's not just to console us, well, if they made mistakes, then I guess it's okay if I make mistakes too. It is, but it doesn't mean that we don't try to fix it. They're also there, as he says, as a warning. He says these things happened to them as examples and were written down as warnings for us, on whom the fulfillment of the ages has come. He said they made mistakes, and so don't make those same mistakes. At least be original and make your own mistakes. But he says even though you're going to make mistakes, don't just make the same stupid ones over and over and over. So he says these are examples. He says learn from them. Another version in there says these are all warning markers, danger in our history books, written down so that we don't repeat their mistakes. And sometimes we say that's why we study history in school, is so that we don't keep making those same mistakes. Because a lot of times we do. They say if you don't know history, you're doomed to repeat it. And sometimes that happens, that we don't know our history. And so Paul says also in there, in the other version that we're talking about, he says, our positions in the story are parallel. They're at the beginning, we're at the end, and we're just as capable of messing it up as they were. Don't be so naive and self-confident. You're not exempt. You could fall flat on your face as easily as anyone else. Forget about self-confidence. It's useless. Cultivate God confidence. So this is a pretty dramatic paraphrase from here, but it's written in language that's easy for us to understand in this version. It says that we need to cultivate God confidence. We need to not dwell on our mistakes, because God's willing to forgive us when we make mistakes. But he doesn't want us to keep making those same mistakes over and over. He wants us to learn from them and to do better. And it's not just a matter of learning from our mistakes and doing better. We need to just look back and see what we see in our life. Not everything back there is a mistake. Sometimes we've done things better than we're doing right now. We can learn from the good things, from the positive things that happened to us in our past. The things that happened when we said, you know, I think I was a lot stronger Christian then. What was different? What was different about it then than now? Sometimes we go through burnout, and we can look back at our history, we can look in our mirrors, and we can see times in our life when we were closer to God, when we had it all together, when we were doing things right. The key is not just having the mirrors and not just looking in the mirrors, but it's adjusting the mirrors. Remember, the driving instructor says get in and adjust the mirrors. He didn't say install them. He said adjust them so that they're pointing in the right direction, so they're looking at the right things. Try to minimize those blind spots that we have, because we need to look in the mirrors and see the good things and the bad things in our history. the things we've done right, the things we've done wrong. And we need to look back at other people's history, and we need to see what they did right and what they did wrong, so that we can make our own original mistakes instead of making theirs over and over. So don't live in the past, but we do need to learn from it. So think about it as you go through today and as you go through this week, and say, what things have I done wrong and what things have I done right? And let me try to repeat those things that I've done right and try to avoid those things that I've done wrong. We're going to have some regrets. And some of them are going to be terrible regrets that we have, just like the radio operator on the Titanic that didn't have long to regret his actions, but during those times he did regret them, during the time that he had left, whenever he had made a terrible mistake. And even when we have made a terrible mistake, we can always at least learn from it. Sometimes we can correct it, sometimes we can't. But we can at least learn from it, and we can help other people to learn from the mistakes that we made. So the biggest mistake that we can make in life, though, is not turning to the Lord. We have one time, one opportunity in life to become a Christian. And so even though we're still going to make mistakes, becoming a Christian certainly doesn't make us perfect. It doesn't eliminate all the problems out of our lives, but it at least gives us an opportunity to be forgiven and an opportunity for salvation that we don't have if we haven't made that decision before. And if you haven't made that decision, if you are someone who has thought about it, maybe somebody that hasn't thought about it, but you see that you need God in your life, that you need Jesus, that you can't do it by yourself. When you look back in the mirror and you've got regrets, you've got an opportunity to have those sins that you've committed in the past washed away. They may still be there, and you may still face the consequences of those bad decisions, but you can at least have the guilt washed away so that you no longer have to worry about the punishment for those things that you've done wrong. You get a chance to wipe the slate clean and to start over, so a fresh start can come. So if you have that opportunity, we're going to be singing a song in a few moments. And so if you would like to come up and have your sins washed away, you've got an opportunity to do that. If you see that you've made some mistakes in the past that you would like to learn from, and you'd like the prayers of the church in helping you overcome those mistakes, you also have an opportunity to come forward and sing.